up as head over all things in heaven and earth, head over all things for the sake of those who are conquered by his grace, who are incorporated into his body, the church of Jesus Christ. Now, in the Old Testament, the glory that God gives to his servant, the glory of the exaltation that's promised, is a glory that is blended with the glory of God himself. For in the Old Testament, it is the Lord who is going to come. And it's the Lord who's going to come in glory. Prepare ye in the desert a highway for our God. God is coming, and he's going to be lifted up in glory. And the whole earth will be filled with his glory. And Zion will be the dwelling place of his glory. And everything in the Old Testament describes the marvelous richness of that glory of God. Zechariah pictures a city in which the washpots become holy temple vessels, and even the horses have on their bells the inscription of the high priest Tiara. All the glory of God has come. The mountain of the Lord is lifted up. The nations are drawn in. The great eschatological banquet is prepared. And everything is filled with glory. Glory so intense, glory so extensive, you can't limit it and you can't describe it. A glory that's described in terms of the temple, but then you see the river of the water of life flowing forth from the temple that becomes the stream of life eternal with the tree of life by the water banks. A glory that is so marvelous that in that day, you have that amazing passage in Isaiah 19, you know, that in that day there'll be an altar in Egypt. In that day, the Egyptians will march right up and they'll go right through Israel and they'll go to Mesopotamia, they'll go to Assyria to worship. And the Assyrians, they'll march right back down the other way and they'll go right through Israel and they'll go to Egypt to worship. You know, amazing language, incredible language. But the language of fullness of glory. Glory so total, so transcendent, so unimaginable that it becomes a great sanctuary from Assyria to Egypt so that the very enemy nations are incorporated in the fullness of the glory. That's the way it's described in the prophets. Now you know, my friends, as I've tried to cover a lot of ground, and I'll admit very superficially, as we've talked about so many of these things tonight, I hope you've seen just a little bit of how much ground there is to cover. And that's what I wanted to show you. I wanted to get you started, get you thinking. Because, you see, what is the message of the New Testament? The message of the New Testament is fulfillment. The Lord has come. The servant has come. And everything that the Old Testament says about the Lord is claimed in fulfillment in Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of glory. And if you look back in the Old Testament and you see the glory of God in the cloud, the glory of God who rides in the thunderstorm, if you see the cloud of God's glory resting upon the tabernacle, why then in the New Testament, the Word becomes flesh and tabernacles among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If God passes by in the Old Testament and Moses sees his glory, and he passes by and is covered in the cleft of the rock by the hand of the Lord and just sees, as it were, the back of God as God passes on, and God causes all his goodness to pass before Moses and proclaims his name of grace to Moses, so grace and glory are beautifully united, and God declares that he's a God of loving kindness and tender mercy and makes his name known to Moses. Then in the New Testament, we're told that no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God, or the only begotten Son, whichever reading you take there, the only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He's made the glory known because grace, the law was given by Moses, And in John's writing, you don't set Moses as over against. It's not law and gospel in John. Moses is the one who promises. He's the one who's looking forward. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth, the way in which God reveals himself, the way in which God reveals his name. It's what Jehovah means. The God of loving kindness, the God who shows mercy to whom he will show mercy, the God of Chesed. This is his name, and this is the one who is now revealed in Jesus Christ. You see, it's all the glory, all the fullness of the glory of God that we behold in the face of Jesus Christ. So the apostle is not like Moses, who had to hide his face behind the veil, but with unveiled face he beholds the glory of the Lord, and he's transformed from glory to glory, even as in the image of the Lord. Isn't it a beautiful fulfillment that's described? Oh, so rich, we can't begin to go into it. The glory at the birth, the glory at the transfiguration, the glory that's to come when he comes again in the clouds, in the glory of the Father. But my friends, the glory in Jesus Christ is united with the suffering. You know John 12? You know what Jesus said? Father, what shall I pray? Save me from this hour. If he'd prayed that, he would have prayed the prayers of all the psalmists, wouldn't he? The suffering servant cries out in the psalm, save me, Father. What shall I cry? Save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. No, Jesus will pray another prayer. Father, glorify thy name. And the voice from heaven said, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. And what is meant there? Well, you know, in the Gospel of John, the glory starts at the cross. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. That's the lifting up of the exaltation, certainly. But John explained, so we won't miss the point, this he said of the death that he should die. Lifted up begins by being lifted up about 4 feet from the earth to hang upon a cross. Glory begins. The glorifying of the Father's name when the Son takes the cup. For, oh my friend, when is the glory of God revealed in its fullness? In the day when the morning stars sang together at creation. In the day of the vengeance of our God, when there will be ushered in the new heavens and the new earth. Yes, yes. But, oh, friends, don't forget the glory of our God, whose name is grace. The glory of our God, whose name is love. The glory for which that God has no rivals. That glory is the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You know, if that verse read, for God so loved his only begotten Son that he gave him the world, you could understand it. There's a verse at the end of the chapter that says just that, that God loveth the Son and giveth all things into his hand. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And in that gift, the glory of God is seen. In that gift, God causes all his goodness to pass before us. In that gift, God declares his name to be a name of loving kindness and tender mercy. There the living God shows that he's the God of love and the God of salvation. And the thing that leaves us utterly speechless, The thing that had the angels singing glory to God in the highest is this incredible mercy in which the God of love comes in His Son, gives His Son on the cross of Calvary for our redemption. Oh, there are many ways that we could look at the glory of God, many ways that we could speak about it. But the place where I wanted to leave the thought of the glory of God fulfilled in Jesus Christ, leave it with you tonight, is that place in John 12, where Jesus says, glorify thy name. And the Father answers, I have both glorified it, and I will glorify it again.
To a company of men and women called by God to the service of the cross of Jesus Christ, it has been a very thrilling and probing and sober word. A world caught up, intoxicated with the pursuit of its own glory, brought face to face with men and women like yourself who know that the glory of God is given to them as a free gift. For the Apostle Paul says, we shall be glorified with Him, providing we have suffered with Him. Sir, on behalf of all who have gathered, I express to you my profound appreciation. You have brought us into the depths of both Old and New Testament. You have called us back to the cross of Jesus Christ. You have brought us to the place where sober reflection and joyful praise belong together in a matrix of service in Jesus' name. You are dismissed.